I was having a really hard time last night finishing off my sermon because my internet at Parsonage is really slow. So I might cut in half of the sermon today. A little boy had just returned home from an Ash Wednesday service, and a little girl next door asked him what the smudge was on his forehead. And this boy replied, "It's Ash Wednesday." "What's Ash Wednesday?" she asked. And this boy said, "It's when Christians began their diet." You know, Ash Wednesday is not about giving up chocolate or stopping drinking the coffee. It's not about the Lent is not about it. It's about examine ourselves. It's about journey through the resurrection. The Lenten season is a time to seek restoration. Psalm 51, verse 10 through 12 says this: "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." And says this: "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit." The joy of salvation, the restore. That's we can do this Lenten season, and that can only happen when we repent. Joy of restoration comes only after we have regained pure heart and a steadfast spirit. As I prepared this sermon, I noticed that it's a really hard sermon because we're talking about repentance. If we really want to restore our relationship with God, we must reconcile with others. That's what Jesus said, right? Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, 23, 24, "So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled with your brother or sister, then come offer your gift." So, in order to reconcile with God, we need to first reconcile with others. Therefore, in this Lenten season, to seek restoration, we need to reconcile with our neighbors, including families, friends, and the enemies that we labeled. Genuine forgiveness and reconciliation are two-person transactions that are enabled by apology. Let me make myself clear. Some, however, teach forgiveness without apology. They quoted word of Jesus: "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither your Father forgive your trespasses." In Jesus' time, a lot of men who cheated their wives use this passage. So enforce this word to wives saying, you must forgive your husband or God will not forgive you. Ridiculous, isn't it? That kind of interpretation, that kind of interpretation of Jesus' teaching fails in the real meaning of forgiveness in the Bible. Because we as Christians are instructed to forgive others in the same manner that God forgives us. How God forgives us. I'm not asking how God loves us, but the Bible says that God loves us as we are even before we repent of our sins. However, God forgives us when we honestly repent of our sin. So we cannot just tell wives to forgive their husband while he is still continue in his wrongdoing, because I cannot require those wives something more than God does to us. God is willing. God is always willing to forgive us. Do you remember Jesus praying, even on the cross, saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus expressed his heart of compassion and desire to see these killers to be forgiven. That should be our desire and prayer. But remember, their forgiveness only came when they acknowledge the fact that they killed the Son of God. Acknowledge. Forgiveness without apology does not lead to reconciliation. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, famous writer, says this, preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance is cheap grace, which amount to the justification of sin without the justification of the repentant sinner. During this Lenten season, to lead you and myself to restore our relationship with God and others, from this Sunday, I would like to focus on the five languages of apology written by Gary Chipman and Jennifer. Chipman said that there are five languages of love, and also there are five languages of apology. We are living in this generation, my brothers and sisters in Christ, where it is really hard to find the true meaning of repentance and forgiveness. Even from the pulpit, it's really hard to hear the word repent these days. Self-righteousness, self-justification, we can easily find in this generation. They are common in this, the world that we are living in right now. Obviously, we have a broken relationship, but we don't know how to fix it. Obviously, we have this broken relationship with our neighbors, our enemies, but we don't know how to fix it, how to reconcile and restore those broken relationships. That's why something in us cry out for reconciliation. when we apologize, we accept responsibility for our own behavior. Seeking to make amend with a person who was offended. Genuine apology. Listen, genuine apology opened the door of the possibility of forgiveness and reconciliation. Genuine apology. Our problem is not that we hesitate to admit anything. Our problem is that we are learning how to justify everything. We have excellent excuses for anything that we want to do. I don't know whether you remember one of the TV series that I watched long time ago, Quincy MC. Do you remember that? Dr. Quincy is a medical examiner of the coroner's office in Los Angeles County. And he's working on a certain fact about suspicious death. In one of those episodes, there's a powerful dramatic scene in which Quincy confronts a doctor who made a terrible mistake and tried to cover up. Doctors stand up in front of Dr. Quincy saying, "I'm so busy, man. I'm a busy man. I don't have the time to talk about this now. So if you will please excuse me." And Dr. Quincy comes back with this penetrating response. "Doctor, I don't have power to excuse you or what you have done. The question is, can you excuse yourself?" Self-justification. When I look at my relationship with others, I also identify the problems that I'm trying to justify all the wrongdoings that I'm doing, trying to excuse myself. For genuine apology to be accepted, we need to speak the language that conveys sincerity. So I ask you, have you said, "I am sorry"? I am sorry? One of the famous popular movie in 1970s, titled Love Story. That movie includes a famous line like this: "Love means never having to say you are sorry." Do you agree with this statement? I don't. I believe that it's the kind of opposite of that. Love often means saying you are sorry, and real love will include apology by the offender and forgiveness by the offended. That's love. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the good news is that the art of apology can be learned. We can learn. There's a famous book titled, "All I Really Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten." Do you know that book? One of the things that this author was learned is that, say you are sorry when you hurt somebody. That's what we learn in the kindergarten. The first language of apology is expressing regret, admitting. Most commonly, it's expressed in these three magic words, I am sorry. But a lot of people using additional word after that. I am sorry, but. Adding this word, but, become, the apology become an act of blame. I am sorry, but. I really encourage you to not using the word but after I'm sorry. And also, when you say I am sorry, be more specific. For example, when you apologize, you should say, I am sorry for such and such, in details, a little bit. In that way, the offended person that realized that, okay, this apology is sincere, right? The in details that offended people be able to understand, that make a connection of the true apology. One of the really moving story that I read, written by Roy Angel, NL. This author told a beautiful story about a widow during the First World War. This widow lost her only son and her husband. She was especially bitter because her neighbor, who had 5 sons, lost none of them during World War I. One night, while this woman's grief was so terribly severe, she had a dream. An angel stood before her and said, you might have your son back again for 10 minutes. What 10 minutes would you choose? Would you have him back as a little baby? A dirty-faced little boy? A schoolboy just started school? Or students just completing high school? Or as the young soldier who marched off so bravely to war? This mother thought about it for a few minutes. In her dream, told the angel, she would choose none of them, none of them. Let me have him back, she said, when, as a little boy, in a moment of anger, he doubled up his fist and shook them at me and said, I hate you, I hate you. Continued to address the angel, she said, in a little while, his anger kind of calmed down. And he came back to me. His dirty little face stained with tears, and put his arm around me, saying, Mama, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I promise I'll never to be bad again. I love you with all my heart. This mom said, let me have him back then. The mother sobbed, I never loved him more than at the moment when he changed his attitude and came back to me. Beautiful, isn't it? That was a power of sincere apology, which brings healing, forgiveness, and restoration of relationships. My brothers and sisters in Christ, sin is serious business, but God will help us to conquer our sin. Even more important, there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. Total, complete, unlimited forgiveness was offered to us, available to all who repented. In 1 John chapter 9, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sin, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." It is the same in our relationship, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We all are offenders in some ways. Some, when we offend others, it hurts our loved ones and relationships. So the apology language, sincere apology language, is extremely important in the process of healing and restoration. In this Lenten journey, we are heading to Easter. I really hope and pray that you and I learn the language of apology and use them properly to restore our broken relationship and bring healing to us. Those three magic words: I am sorry. That magic word makes a world of difference, and healing begins with that word. God is pleased with us, and we glorify in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Amazing God, we thank you for the message that you've given us. It's a simple three words, but it's really hard for us to say. And many times, God, many times we are not able to see ourselves. It's hard for us to admit what we are doing, wrongdoings. Help us, God, in this journey of Lenten season, help us to use the amazing word of apology properly so that our relationship, our broken relationship, will be restored with your grace. Thank you, God, and help us to live out the word that we just received. I'm sorry, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand for closing hymn?